Thank you for inviting me. Passover began 2 days ago, so today I will tell you what we had to do 2 days ago, so no problem. I told shalom. Shalom means peace to you. In Israel, shalom means hi, hello. But when we who believe in Jesus say shalom, that means a special peace, a peace which comes from God through knowing Jesus the Messiah. So today I'd like to share my presentation. I still learn English, so I'd like you to be patient. I hope you will be able to understand my Russian-Israeli English accent. One second. Do you see this first slide? Yes, yes, thank you. I hope that at our homes we have a typical table setting for Passover, but today I will give you a story, a plan of this celebration. I'd like to show you some thoughts, to share some thoughts. Just a second. I try to check how to work with this. Couple of seconds, okay? Yes, yes. Does it work? Uh-huh. Thank you, thank you. So today I'd like you to see Jesus as a bread of life, as Lamb of God. I'd like to tell you some elements of redemption within the traditional Jewish Passover. If you have a Bible with you, would you please open the Bible or your phones? A Bible, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses from 7 to 13. Luke 22, verse 7. Passover is a very much a family celebration. We celebrate it not in a synagogue, just at homes, at Jewish homes. Even in Israel, Passover meal, Passover celebration is just a family dinner, family holiday. So Luke chapter 22, verses from 7 to 13, let me read. And I'd like you to find a key word, a most important word in this Bible passage. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparation for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there.' They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover." Here we can see there was a special word, preparation. Preparation is meant, yes. The word preparation is mentioned four times in this passage by Luke. Why? Because without preparation, Passover cannot begin. What does it mean, preparation, today? All the leaven has to be removed from the house. Not only from the food, but from the entire house. And why is it so important that leaven should be removed? Because in the Bible, the leaven represents, you can see, sin. The leaven represents sin. When we put leaven into bread, what happens? It rises, causing the bread to puff up. And the same way, leaven is very much like a sin. When sin came to a person's heart, sin causes us to puff up before God, to puff up before God. We say, I want to do what is the best for me. We think more of ourselves and become proud. Also, I'd like to explain the time of preparation. During 6 weeks, the woman, especially in Orthodox homes, the woman of the house is very busy. She needs to be sure that the house is clean and spotless, especially in the religious homes. Even the bookshelves and carpets, everywhere. So this amazing cleaning process shows that we want to live a clean and spotless life before God, and that we prepare ourselves to meet with God. So, and what happens if we don't put leaven into bread? What do we have? We have matzo. Yes, matzo. Behold the bread of affliction, which the Israelites took with them when they left Egypt. God said, once Pharaoh says go, you must leave. So they left with flat bread. We have in English the word dough. For the eight Passover days, Passover season, that's all we have. No usual bread, no cakes, no rolls, no sweets, and only matzah, pretty dry. Maybe that is the reason why we call them the bread of affliction. I don't know. Now in Judaism, the husband is responsible to ensure that the house is cleansed from all the leaven. But you know, the ladies do all the hard work. So at the end of this six-week time, the wife hides the last little pile of breadcrumbs, usual breadcrumbs, for the husband to find it. You know, do you know about this? Yes, no. And this is so-called ceremony Bdikat Hametz. Bdikat Hametz, that means searching out of leaven. So the husband takes special tools, a wooden spoon, a feather, a cloth, and he begins to search for this leaven with all the kids. But the wife is good enough that she hid these breadcrumbs at the same place where she hid a year ago and a year ago and a year ago. So the husband cannot touch these breadcrumbs. He gather, wraps them in the napkin and throw them out. And we know two traditions. The first tradition, we burn breadcrumbs in the fire. The second tradition is an Israeli tradition. Israeli rabbis wants all Israel to be cleansed, to be clean from all the leaven. And it is impossible to do this, but they write a special document, a special agreement. According to this agreement, rabbis sell all the leaven in the whole Israel. They sell it to a good Gentile man. Gentile. So they sign this document. According to this document, the land of Israel is clean from the leaven. But after this period, after the Passover, they write another document. According to that document, this good Gentile sells all the leaven back to the people of Israel. So that is the tradition, seriously. But we mentioned that we throw out these breadcrumbs to the fire. The husband returns and proudly proclaim, "Now I have purged my house of all the leaven." And the wife says, "Sure you did." Next, Haggadah. Haggadah means the telling in Hebrew. Haggadah. This is the book to tell this, so that we could tell the story of Passover. In the book of Exodus, chapter 13, God commanded Jewish people to observe and to tell the story of Passover to all the generation, to children, grandchildren, and other generation. So we would never forget what God did for our people. Today, during celebration of Passover, a child should ask four questions, so-called four questions, to the father. And we have special four questions and special traditional four answers. So maybe you know this song. This song is Manishtana. So maybe you know everything. You know that this Passover meal has a special order. Order in Hebrew, we have the word Seder, the order of a service. Every church today has an order of the service, of every service. Next point, we need to light the candles because Passover cannot begin until the woman prays, the woman of the house prays a special prayer. Let me read, because I don't have these candles. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu le'adlik ner shel Pesach. And in English, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by his commandments and has commanded us to light the light of Passover. So the woman of the house lights the candles, and so through the woman, light came to our celebration, and the same way, through the seed of woman, Jesus, the light of the world, came to our world. We know about this. Next. During Passover celebration, we drink four times. Symbolically, we drink four times. We have so-called four cups. And every cup has its own name. The first cup is cup of blessing or sanctification. The second is cup of plagues. The third is cup of redemption. And the fourth is Hallel. Hallel, from the word hallelujah, hallelujah, means praise. So the cup of blessing, sanctification, this cup commits our meal to God. And the Father sings the blessing. Let me read this traditional prayer. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, bore pri agafen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. Next. Let me turn your attention to these elements of redemption. We have a special cedar plate with six places for six elements. The first element is karpas. Greens. Usually we use parsley or celery, and we also have salted water. Greens represent life, and we dip greens into the salt water because the life of our ancestors in Egypt was very, very hard. And this reminds us that the life of people who don't know God is a life immersed in tears. So we need God's redemption, and this redeemer is Jesus. The second is maror, bitter herbs. Bitter herbs. You can see ground horseradish. Yes. Ground horseradish. It reminds us of bitterness of slavery in Egypt. This reminds us of how bitter was the life of our ancestors as we were slavers. There was nothing they could do. It was impossible to them to become free, to have freedom. They needed a redeemer, and God was their redeemer. And horseradish is like a sin. When we try to eat horseradish, at first it smells pretty nice, smells. But then if we eat horseradish, it burns our throat and make us cry. The same way sin. At first, sin looks like something nice. Do you remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve. At first, sin is like something nice, beautiful. But then when Adam and Eve accepted sin, they became a sinner, they burned their soul and they cried, they wept. So, also the leader of the Seder, the leader of the Seder does so-called dipping the soap. He takes a piece of matzah and dip in the horseradish. And this is the Middle Eastern tradition, custom of love. The leader of the Seder gives this piece to the one whom he loves the best, to the one he loves the most. And this is Jesus, the leader of the Seder at the last Passover, did for Judas. Jesus took this piece of matzah and gave to Judas. He gave this piece to one who wanted to betray him. Why? Because Jesus died for all of us, even for Judas. So please never think that you are so bad sinners that God cannot forgive you. If you turn to Jesus, if you accept Jesus, you are forgiven and you have restored relationship with God. Next, this is something sweet. Haroset, mortar. We dip another piece of matzo in this mix and can eat. Sweet mix of chopped apples, cinnamon, raisins, and nuts. It represents the mortar which Jewish people did to build the Pharaoh's cities. In the Agadah, in the book, rabbis ask the question, why do this sweet mix symbolizes so hard labor? Why? The answer is because even the hardest labor becomes sweet with the promise of God's redemption. Next, Hagiga, egg. What does this represent? Maybe people in the churches say this represents life, new life, or Easter. But for Jewish culture, for Jewish people, it is a symbol of grief, the symbol of mourning. The word Hagiga in Hebrew means, Hag means holiday. Hagiga, burnt offering during a holiday. Hagiga. We roast this egg with the fire to remind us the destroying of the temple, Jerusalem and the temple. In the first century, in the year 70, Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. And we remember this fact, and we put a piece of egg, put in the salt water, and can eat. Why it symbolizes grief? Because Jewish people left, Jewish people lost the ability to make sacrifices. They lost atonement for sins, for sin, because there were no temple. And today, if you would ask Jewish people, Jewish religious people, how do you know that your sins are forgiven? You will answer, we don't know for sure. Maybe yes, maybe no. We don't know for sure. Why? Because they don't have sacrifice, no temple. But we who believe in Jesus, we know that Jesus Yeshua is our sacrifice forever. Forever. Next. Hazaret, a bitter root. Here you can see onion. Again, it reminds us of hard work, of bitter life in Egypt. Also in the New Testament, it is written that bitter root in our heart can grow up and cause troubles. So we need someone who would take away this bitter root from our heart. We need somebody who can root out this bitter root from our heart, and that is Jesus. Can you hear me well? Okay, thank you. Zeroah in Hebrew, Zeroah. Shank bone. This reminds us of the lamb that was slain at Passover. So that Israelites could leave Egypt and to be free. But today Jewish people don't eat lamb. Why? Because before the destruction, when the temple was destroyed, before this time, they ate lamb. But now there is no. We don't make sacrificial. And today Jewish people use chicken. You know this, at Passover. And what is also interesting, in the ancient time, Israelites had to eat this lamb fully. And this reminds us of Jesus. When we accept Jesus into our heart, we need to accept him at all, fully. We need to accept his person, his words, his sacrifice, all of him. And not just some parts which we like the most. Let me go to the cups. The second cup is cup of plagues. During this cup, we remember these 10 plagues, and we drink this cup, and we put special drops, 10 drops, and remember these 10 plagues. Let me remind you. The first plague was blood, water to blood, then frogs, gnats, flies, pestilence, boils, hails, then locusts, darkness, and the 10th is death of firstborn. We drink this cup and sing the traditional Jewish song Dayeno. In English, English translation is, this would be sufficient for us. And during this cup, we don't rejoice because of sufferings of our enemies, but we thank God, we praise God for his mercy on us. Okay. The first Passover. We mentioned some elements, but during the first Passover, Jewish people did the most important. They anointed the doorposts with the blood of the lamb, and through the faith in this blood of the lamb, they were saved from the death, from physical death. The same way today, if we believe in the blood of Jesus, the Messiah, we can be saved forever. through our faith in blood of Jesus. Oh, the mystery of the tree. During Passover Seder, we prepare a special so-called matzah tosh. It is a Yiddish word. Matzah bag, and the husband of this Passover meal take three pieces of matzah. He takes the second. He puts these pieces of matzah in this matzah tosh. He takes the second piece of matzah. He breaks it in two. Then he wraps one piece in linen and hides, and his children will search it and find it later. The hidden piece of matzah is now called afikoman. Afikoman, it is a Greek word. We don't know exact translation, but in Greek, that means that which comes after. There are many opinions, but that which comes after. And the kids play a game, hide and seek, afikoman, and the one who finds it, receive a reward. So let's look at symbolism. We had three pieces of matzah. Unleavened bread symbolizes sinless, this word. The father of the house, it is a rabbinic tradition. The father takes the second piece in the matzah tosh. It is broken, then wrapped in linen, buried, and the child who finds it receives a prize. And this reminds us, Jewish believers in Jesus and Gentile believers in Jesus, this reminds us about Jesus. Jesus was sinless. Jesus was the second person of triunity. Also, we know that matzo, if we would look at matzo, we will see that this piece of matzo is pierced and striped. The same way the body of Christ, the body of Jesus, was pierced and striped for our sins. It is written in the Bible, in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, he was pierced for our transgressions. Also, he died for us. He was buried. He rose from the dead. Children who search out for this afikoman, children are like Jewish people, and at the end of times, all the Jewish people will be saved. All the Jewish people will try to find Jesus and accept Jesus. And what is the reward? The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God's heart is for Jewish people to be saved. God has put this traditional rabbinic tradition into this Passover meal. And we know that when Jesus celebrated his last Passover with his disciples, he took a piece of matzo, broke it, and told his disciples, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So, the afikoman. Yes. And in the same way, Jesus took a cup and said, this is my blood. This means, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we see that this matzah and cup is a typical church communion service. But Jewish people today don't know about these parallels, absolutely. So we have we can a special possibility to share, to tell them about this, maybe invite Jewish people to our homes and tell this story. Okay. Traditional, the fourth cup is cup of Hallel, cup of praise. We remember this word, the cup of praise. During this cup, Jewish people, Jewish family praises God for his redemption, for his salvation. But after the Passover meal, Jesus, after his Passover meal, Jesus drank a different cup. This was a cup of God's wrath. Cup of God's wrath. Also, on our table, there is a special cup we did not drink. This is so-called Elijah's cup. We know that in the book of Malachi, the prophet Malachi wrote that one who is like Elijah would prepare the way for Messiah's coming. And each Jewish family prepares this cup for Elijah. And maybe this year Elijah would come. Then the father sends his child to the door, to the entrance, and ask him, please open the door and see. Maybe Elijah has come this year on Passover. If Elijah has come, that means that the Messiah will come very, very soon. But Elijah did not come this year, and the children are disappointed, discouraged. But we who believe in Jesus, we know that one has come in the spirit and power of the Elijah, who came in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and he prepared the way for the Lord. And his name is a Jewish prophet, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he was baptizing Jewish people in the river Jordan. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he cried out in a loud voice. He cried, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. At that time, all Jewish people understood what John the Baptist said. Because at that time, people knew that without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But Jesus lived sinless life, and Jesus lived sinless life, perfect life for all of us. And by confessing our sin, by our faith in his death and resurrection, we can have restored relationship with God, forgiveness of sins. Both Jewish people and Gentiles can have a relationship with God of Israel.